The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
An article yesterday where it said this is one of the finest run campaigns that anybody has ever seen. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. It's really a statement. And we have no choice.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I will say that it is a decision that we revisit constantly in terms of the balance between allowing somebody to knowingly lie on your air about things they've lied about before and you can predict they are going to lie about. And so therefore it is just, it's irresponsible to allow them to do that. It's a balance between knowing that that's irresponsible to broadcast and also knowing that as the de facto, soon to be de facto nominee of the Republican Party, this is not only the man who is likely to be the Republican candidate for president, but this is the way he's running.
Well, here's how we'll balance it. Yeah. Why don't we fact check the hell out of him?
Yes, and we do that.
And so what Donald Trump does is prey upon the fact that people don't necessarily feel good and life's expensive.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very contested area.
Build the wall. Like,
what? Mm-hmm. But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it, therefore drive all the blacks out of the colleges, get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which, at this stage, it isn't about economics.
No.
Claire, but the truth is he has no rationale for his campaign unless there's a story that America sucks, which it does not.
Has he ever had a rationale? His only rationale is he thought it would help his brand. He's a marketer. He's a liar and a marketer. So this is not somebody who cares about anything other than himself. And the sad thing is that grievance, he figured out marketing grievance. But I got to tell you, last night, I think was not a good night for Donald Trump. I know we spent a lot of time talking about how he won, but you know how many states that Donald Trump won by more than a 70-point margin? Two. You know how many states Joe Biden won by more than a 70-point margin? Every single one but two. This is really a problem for Donald Trump. And you know the great thing about it? I don't think he even sees it. I think he's too busy saying, is it quite orange enough?
Right.
You know, does it need to be a little
that
more
hair, that latest hair dye really bothering you? Like,
It is. Did you see it last night? It's like it has a light coming from it that says carrot.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's crazy. Okay.
Another disastrous night for Donald Trump. That's the take coming. Who actually consumes this analysis, if you can even call it that? Nobody watches this. Certainly not from start to finish. It's hard enough for me to watch the clips. These people. Donald Trump, he absolutely crushes it. And then Nikki Haley has to bow out this morning. It was so devastating. She was hoping to pull in at least Massachusetts and Colorado together with Vermont. As it is, all she could get was Bernie Sanders, Vermont. And then, of course, the D.C. swamp. It was that devastating for her campaign. Donald Trump, as I say, he is winning. And it's like you used to say, we're going to win so much that you're going to get tired of winning. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. We had a little trouble with Rumble right at the top of the program, but hopefully that's working fine now, but just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily and leave us some comments, leave us some thumbs up at Rumble as well so that you can up our ratings and popularity. So speaking of rising ratings and popularity, as I say, Donald Trump dominated on Super Tuesday. Just step back for a moment. Let's go back 4 or 5 months. Remember when the Lawfare was just getting in motion and all of these talking heads, they were so excited. And they were looking at the calendar ahead of time. They were looking at March. They were looking at March 5th in particular and projecting when these lawsuits could come into play, hopefully mid-February, hopefully the end of February at the latest, certainly the earliest, the early time in March, that would be perfect because it would be right around Super Tuesday. And then of course, people wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. He's a convict. He's been convicted. He's off to prison. Look at how, as I've said so often, it's like God just led them into a masterful trap. Even Michelle Obama's office yesterday was saying, no, I'm not going to get into the race now. She may. We'll see what happens. But we know that the Antiochus disappears from the scene based upon what it says in Amos chapter 11. I can't get into all the details, but that's why you've got to get this book, America Under Attack. Is it happening already? Is Antiochus realizing that if I come out into the open more, I'm just going to be exposed for the traitor that I am, for the treason I've committed? Who knows how it plays out? Maybe there's other forceful action that God's going to take. But you really do see it's all things Jeroboam at this time. He's dominating the news cycles. And of course, they're talking about him in the regime media. It's just, I mean, it's craziness. You run out of words to describe these people. What is wrong with them? How can this pass for analysis? Talking about his hair or talking about his mannerisms or talking about his tweets or, I mean, what about the numbers? What about the fact that he's got such widespread support? You can't expect to get anything fair or balanced if you turn on cable news. Listen to this from the Morning Meltdown, clip 9.
And yet the lies just continue. He hates on America when loving America would be easier. He hates on America when loving America would be telling the truth about America.
The country's gotten so used to Donald Trump talking this way, but it's worth pulling back and considering the guy who wants to be president again, one of the last two standing now, says our country is a joke. He thinks the United States of America is a joke, and it's a joke based on all the lies that he laid out. We'll spare you from having to watch his low-energy speech last night, but it was full of lies about the economy. It was full of lies about crime. It was full of lies about immigration in this country, but he has to paint this picture of a nation in decline, despite all the data that says otherwise, so that he can again ride in to rescue the country. The whole thing is based on a lie.
I mean, who Mike Barnicle wants to vote for somebody that lies about their country?
Joe Scarborough actually said that he's dancing on the graves of America's veterans. How could a U.S. veteran, someone that's fought for the country, ever vote for Donald Trump? And you listen to the other guy there saying, we'll spare you. We'll spare you of the lies. We won't show you his speech. It's just like Rachel Maddow. She cuts away from his speech. He's won all these states. It's huge news. But she cuts away saying, hey, I read a report where, someone said we've run an excellent campaign. Well, now let's cut away. I don't want you to hear those lies. I don't want you to hear the lies about crime in the streets or a wide open border or inflation. He's just lying about everything. Look, we're here. We've told you everything's perfect. The border's secure. The economy's better than ever. And there's no crime. No wonder people are tuning them out. And then the energy point. They're actually a talking point for them now is actually that Joe Biden is at his absolute best, and it's Donald Trump who's senile, who's losing it, who's got something missing upstairs. Listen to this. It goes on for a while, but we've worked on it for a few days now. This is clip 12.
Not sure if you saw this. Donald Trump started off the day by insisting that fascists and communists are really in charge over at the White House. Let's listen.
I don't think he knows what to say about many subjects, actually. It's really the people that surround him. It's the fascists and the communists that surround him. They're making the calls. They're calling the shots. He's not calling the shots.
It's a continuation of what you hear on the right, that Biden is out of it. He's, you know, he's slipping and all of this stuff, and that the fascists and the communists at the White House are in charge.
Right. Well, we all remember when Joe Biden confused Barack Obama with Donald Trump. Oh, wait, no, that was Trump. We all remember when Joe Biden was under oath and he mistook a woman he raped for his wife. Oh, no, that was Donald Trump. In other words, I think the coverage of this has frankly, not been very accurate, right? Biden's gaffes have always been built in. He's always had his verbal slips, as we all do. I've known him 35 years. I haven't seen it really get worse.
Yeah.
Trump is getting worse. He's melting down.
And the guy just kept getting confused. We see it more and more. He gets in the middle of sentences. He's reading teleprompters, and his mind still blanks out. Nikki Haley for Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama for Joe Biden. And it's just so pathetic and sad. You take the fact that his mind blanks out, and he looks lost. It actually looks like a sad scene to me to see somebody up on stage and blanking out and getting lost. And unfortunately, an old man who is losing his ability to communicate.
You know, what's on display is that, okay, Joe Biden is old, but the other guy is deranged, demented, and pathetic, as you point out, not to mention dangerous. Is that Joe Biden will be able to say, yeah, I'm old. I'm very stiff when I walk, but this guy is also old. And he's crazy, and he's dangerous, and he is incoherent. He needs to make that point.
He has a stutter, and he's had it for decades. Yeah. He's had it for decades. Everything that he is doing, he has done. That's been baked into the Biden situation that we have known for years. And while he is older, and he should own that, and he should joke about it, and he should address it, I think we're at a point now where for Trumpers on Fox News, for the MAGA right, for Donald Trump himself, they're at an inflection point for making fun of Joe Biden's age, for making it an issue. But it's actually coming back to haunt them in a really big way.
It is.
I think the reason he doesn't look old like Biden looks older, the presidency ages you when you do the job. Obama went gray because he was doing the work. Donald Trump looks the same as when he ran because he was playing golf the whole time. His one job
was
to
manage. You think that color's natural?
But the reason.
There's no question that, Donald Trump, let's remember, is only a couple years younger than Joe Biden and is showing real signs of decline. People, he speaks, we have far fewer events than ever before. The concern of fatigue and misstatement. And there's the.
And by the way, he eats badly. He lives badly. Yeah. He doesn't
and
exercise.
The other issue.
Sitting all day. It's opposite of Joe Biden, who exercises every day, is on a pretty tight diet. I mean, actually does what you're supposed to do.
Ice cream aside. Yeah. And Trump at most plays a little golf.
But comparing that guy's mental state, I've said it for years now. He's cogent. Mm-hmm. But I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been intellectually, analytically, because he's been around for 50 years. I don't really care. Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever.
No serious newsman talks like you heard there. It's really embarrassing. These people they're embarrassing themselves every single day. We've titled it The Morning Meltdown. That's what you're treated to if you tune in. I mean, here he is cursing his audience. if you don't believe me, then you're the problem. Is he just seeking facts or trying to give you an analysis on what played out yesterday on Super Tuesday? It was Super Trump Day is what it was. But you'd never know it. You would never know it listening to these people. And then Joy Reid going on and on about how that, well, the reason he hasn't aged is because he just played golf. Oh, well, which is it then? Is he an authoritarian Hitler that's going to destroy democracy and the nation along with it? Or is he just kick back on the recliner and then get up and go play golf once in a while? These people contradict themselves daily as well. Is he lazy or is he destructive? Which is it? Their heads are exploding because their lawfare strategy is collapsing. Even at Slate, this is a left-wing website. The latest decisions out of the Supreme Court, first on when to hear former President Donald Trump's immunity appeal, then on how to deal with his Colorado ballot disqualification, have made one thing very clear. We need to stop deluding ourselves that a majority of the Supreme Court sees the same political emergency that many of us do in terms of the threat Trump poses to American democracy. We see the threat, says Slate. We see the threat, says Joe Scarborough. But the Supreme Court, the Supremes don't see it. That's Amos 7 right there, the kingdom's court. It's all discussed in America Under Attack. All of it. This book's been around now for over 10 years. I mean, we've added to it along the way. But as I read to you earlier this week, you've got commentators now talking about the Trump miracle. What we're witnessing is a miracle. That's because God is behind it. You can see the hand of God if your eyes are opened to the prophecies of God, the sure word of Bible prophecy, as I read to you on Monday's show. All that again, it's in America Under Attack. If you don't have a copy of the book, we offer it free, without cost or obligation. Just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. Slate says whether it understood or even accounted for the consequences of the decision to delay the criminal case against him and to expedite its decision to keep him on the ballot, the High Court ensured this past week that Trump is extremely unlikely to have a jury decide if he engaged in election subversion before voters cast their ballots for the next U.S. president this fall. We're running out of time, says Slate. And how hilarious is it that Colorado tries to take him off the ballot? He's put back on because of the Supremes, and then Trump wins Colorado yesterday. There you go. He wins Massachusetts. He loses Vermont, Bernie Sanders state, by a hair. He doesn't care about the swamp. And then Nikki Haley announces that she's stepping aside today. It's pretty big news. I would say it's pretty big news, particularly when you step back and you look at what they were saying. These people that won't play a speech by Donald Trump. But yet, a few months ago, they were saying these cases are going to start in February, maybe early March. That's Super Tuesday time. Same people just spewing the propaganda. Who watches it, as I say? It says here, after failures by outgoing Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Attorney General Merrick Garland, and now the Supreme Court, it's clear that if anyone is going to save American democracy, it's going to be the voters. Now, this is our last chance. Hopefully the American voters can save democracy, because if they vote for Trump, they're voting to destroy democracy. Listen to this NBC, MSNBC panel as they talk about Donald Trump and his supporters being, you guessed it, racist. This is clip 11.
They're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it. Therefore, drive all the blacks out of the colleges. Get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which at this stage, it isn't about economics.
No, which is why Trump killed the immigration bill.
Correct.
But that's why.
There you go. A talking point that has been recycled time and time again. It's all race. It's not about, you know, the Venezuelan that raped the girl in Virginia or that killed the woman, the young lady in Georgia, you know, crushed her skull. It's not about that. No, crime. Just inviting crime into the country. It's just race. Yeah, Trump and his supporters, they don't like brown people. Pure and simple. There you go. A fresh, hot new take from the people at NBC. Listen to this one from the Morning Meltdown. This is clip 10.
And we were there to save Europe from Hitler. And now all of these years later, we have to get together as a country and save the country from the threat that Donald Trump proposes.
Right. We saved Europe from Hitler, and now we've got to save America from Trump. Trump put it right on the weekend. I'm not the threat. I'm here to go after these people who are a threat to democracy. This is the real threat to democracy. So Trump crushes it last night. He wins. He wins Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, California, and Colorado and Maine. And in Alaska and Maine, by the way, you had the two... The two rhino Republican senators, Murkowski and Collins, I think, they both basically came out and against Trump. They were endorsing, rhino Republican candidates or they both supported Nikki Haley, I guess I should say. And what did the people of Maine and Alaska say? There were quite a few votes or elections in Texas on the lower level, on the state level. And here again, the MAGA movement is crushing it across the board. And here you've got John Cornyn. He's lining up to replace Mitch McConnell. He's a Mitch McConnell clone. He's a senator from Texas. And he's probably going to be primaried next time around. I think that's in 2 years. This is big news. I mean, what we're witnessing, what we're seeing is Donald Trump taking over the Republican Party. Mitch McConnell stepping aside. I mean, it really and truly is. Given where Donald Trump was left for dead after 2020, there was no helper. Nobody in a court would look into the election fraud. No one. Nobody in the media. Nobody in conservative media. Fox News wouldn't bring it up. I mean, what we're witnessing is the greatest political comeback in U.S. history. Laura Ingraham, I think, said as much last night, if I can find it. Play clip 2.
I think tonight we should look back at the people who proclaimed Donald Trump's political death. Donald Trump is finally finished. New York Times, November 2020. Relax, a Trump comeback in 2024 is never going to happen. Politico. This could be the greatest political comeback story of all time. I mean, maybe some of you can remember something better than this, but if he pulls this off in November, and it's an if, but even to get to this moment, pretty much everyone was declaring him DOA. What does that say about all of us? I mean, maybe we need to spend more time with the American people, or at least I do, because I had my doubts at various times as well.
She's right about that. I mean, I got to give her credit for admitting it there, but within days after the media, the regime media, anointed Joe Biden as president in November of 2020. She was basically on Fox News saying, let's move on. Let's stop talking about the election steal. There's no proof. There's no evidence. Donald Trump is history. And here she cites the New York Times, Politico. He's politically, he's dead. That's why it's so miraculous. What we're seeing, all of these states, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota's at, Trump's talking about New York and New Jersey. But really, the bigger prizes in New York, I mean, they're so deep, dark blue, and the machines are there for stealing. But if Trump somehow pulls in Virginia or Minnesota or New Mexico or Nevada, I mean, they've got a cheating machine in Clark County as well, there in Nevada. Arizona, Kirsten Sinema, she stepped aside. She's like the, I guess, somewhere in the middle, Democrat, independent, whatever she is. But Carrie Lake is running against a far left progressive, a far left communist. Sinema's out. And of course, liberals are saying, well, that's going to help the far left progressive. I don't know. Given what's happening at the border of Arizona, I mean, it might just help Carrie Lake all the more. These are earth-shaking developments that are so much news. I mean, I'm excited to get up and broadcast about it. But then you get the talking heads. You get the regime media talking about orange hair dye and about Hitler and about World War II and how we saved Europe from Hitler. Just bizarre, bizarre things. And how that Joe Biden has never been better. He's never been sharper. It really is crazy. Richard wrote in his morning brief about the 995 delegates that Trump now has. He's just 200 away. He's 200 away from claiming the nomination. He is winning and winning. He's winning now at the Supreme Court. He's winning in all of these primaries. This was Trump reacting to his victory or his numerous victories on Super Tuesday last night. Clip one.
Well, thank you very much. They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this. There's never been anything so conclusive. This was an amazing night, an amazing day. It's been an incredible period of time in our country's history. It's been sad in so many ways, but I think it's going to be inspiring because we're going to do something that, frankly, nobody's been able to do for a long time. We've
cut away. Can't show it. Too many lies. It's historic. I mean, this level of domination on the political landscape, we've not seen anything like it. Not in my lifetime. I mean, maybe the Reagan landslide in 84 could compare to it. We'll see. We're not at November yet, obviously. Nixon, of course, enjoyed a landslide victory back in his day. But here is big news. And this victory is triggering, I think, some pretty important reactions to just kind of keep our eyes on. Like I said earlier, Michelle Obama's announcement yesterday that I don't want to be into politics or whatever. This is from Sundance. Spokesperson for Michelle Obama confirms she will not run for president. As former First Lady Obama, Michelle Obama has expressed several times over the years she will not be running for president. Mrs. Obama supports President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris's reelection campaign. So, again, we'll see if that holds true through the Democrat convention later this summer. Meanwhile, Nikki Haley announces she's suspending her campaign. It says the former South Carolina governor and UN ambassador is expected to drop out this morning. That would have happened earlier today. She will not endorse former President Donald Trump, but will encourage him to earn the support of those who had backed her. The sources said she used to work for Donald Trump, but she can't bring herself to endorse him. She's going to be, I guess, like Chris Christie. But yet look at the rhinos like Mitch McConnell. They're disappearing. I mean, we're probably one, maybe two more election cycles away from MAGA taking over the Republican side of Congress, in the Senate, I mean. I think it's got a pretty good grip of control over the House. There's still a lot of rhinos like John Cornyn in the Senate, but that's beginning to change. It says here the expected announcement first revealed by the Wall Street Journal comes after Haley was only victorious in Vermont during Super Tuesday's primaries, with Trump beating her in 14 of the states. She made no public appearances after spending the night huddled with staff watching returns near her home. I shouldn't laugh. I mean, you know, hopefully she goes on and has a productive career. But what a shame, really, to see these people, basically her and DeSantis, ruin their political careers because they can't just open their eyes and see what all the rest of America sees. They're more in step with morning meltdown than they are with what's actually happening. Elon Musk, this was a New York Times piece from yesterday. It says here, Donald Trump, who is urgently seeking a cash infusion to aid his presidential campaign, met on Sunday in Palm Beach, Florida, with Elon Musk, one of the world's richest men, and a few wealthy Republican donors, according to three people briefed on the meeting who spoke on the condition of anonymity. So here's Donald. And then here again, just to step back. I mentioned, you know, step back 5-6 months. Look at what they were saying just a few months ago. Step back a year and a half and look at what has happened since Elon Musk spent, what was it, $45 billion to purchase Twitter? I mean, it's helpful for our operation to just gather news. But is Twitter worth $45 billion? I don't think so. And yet he put up the money. He bought Twitter, and look at how that's changed the national discourse. And now he's meeting with Donald Trump. And now, you know, he's also sending out his own tweets or his exes, whatever they're called, criticizing the fake presidency, the Joe Biden, the border policy, all these things. I mean, this never, ever would have happened just 2 years ago. It's a miraculous transformation in the other direction of Barack Obama's fundamental transformation, that's for sure. It says here, Mr. Trump and his team are working to find additional major donors to shore up his finances as he heads into an expected general election against President Biden. Further on, it says, with a net worth of around $200 billion, according to Forbes, Mr. Musk could decide to throw his weight behind Mr. Trump and potentially almost single-handedly erase what is expected to be Mr. Biden and his allies' huge financial advantage over the former president. So amid all of the setbacks for the Antiochus regime, the one positive that they had in this is that, well, they're bringing in more money, much more money than what Trump has for his political campaign. And now that may be changing. Now that may be another loss that you can chalk up for the radical left. Listen to the talking heads again as they completely melt down over Elon Musk meeting with Trump. They love the communist billionaires that can like Soros and company that contribute even with dark money. You know, think of Bankman-Fried and all the millions of dollars that were just flowing into Democrat accounts. They love, even when it's corrupt. I mean, look at the Biden crime family. They love wealthy millionaires, billionaires, as long as they're corrupt and contributing to Democrat campaigns. But for one billionaire to come along and say, you know what, I've had enough of Biden, I think I might throw my support behind Trump, then it's another threat to democracy, isn't it? This is clip 4.
We are inching closer to a general election rematch between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Now, in terms of fundraising, the Democrats currently have a financial advantage over the Republicans. Joe Biden started the year with $46 million on hand compared to Trump's $33 million. Here's some news, though. Perhaps that imbalance will not last for long. Check out this scoop from the New York Times tonight. You see the headline there. Donald Trump seeking cash infusion meets with Elon Musk. New York Times reporting that Donald Trump met with Elon Musk and also a few other wealthy Republican donors seeking a cash infusion to support his campaign. That was within the last few days. That was reportedly over the weekend. According to the Times, Trump is now hoping to have a one-on-one meeting just with Elon Musk, who reportedly has been saying that he believes it is, quote, essential to defeat Joe Biden in November.
The people over at Gateway Pundit, they're calling these two a dynamic duo. Gateway, of course, is very much pro-Trump. They write, there are reasons to think that Tesla founder might decide to endorse the great MAGA king this time, beginning with immigration. Further on, it says the Times, this is Gateway writing about the Times report. It reports that if Musk decides to endorse Trump, the issue of illegal immigration will be a crucial motivator. The Biden regime has also harassed Musk with numerous frivolous investigations. They're exhausting all resources to destroy his business empire and perhaps even reverse his purchase of X or Twitter. That's right, Lawfare. I mean, one thing about the communist left, they go after you. If you resist them, if you oppose them, if you oppose their agenda, if you help Donald Trump, then you become a target. Or as Isaiah 58 says, you become a prey. Maybe that's Isaiah 59. In any event, here's more from MSNBC on this meeting between the dynamic duo, clip 5.
Musk has tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars of government contracts with the Pentagon through SpaceX. He has unbelievable amounts of interest in regulatory affairs. He's currently suing to get rid of the National Labor Relations Act of the New Deal to destroy unions across the board and render them unconstitutional. That is a current lawsuit he has filed onto. Think about the sheer ROI, return on investment, of an investment. And it is so shocks the conscience that this would even be possible. And it's only possible, again, because of Mitch McConnell, because of the Roberts Court and the MAGA Court, that you could even be in a position where you have such an obviously corrupt setup.
You think these people would care one bit if Musk was meeting with Biden or Obama and vowing to support the reelection campaign of the fake president? They would be cheering it on. But how dare this billionaire show support for the bad orange man? I mean, he dyes his hair orange. He gets a fake tan. I mean, he's horrible, right? This was more from Chris Hayes. Skip ahead to number 7.
To me, it's just like there's this whole internet. You're sort of watching Elon Musk like self-radicalize and online every day. His brain gets mushier and mushier and mushier. And, you know, there's part of this radicalization is like social media and his own ego.
These people are, as I said earlier, they're not serious news people. They're not. They're propagandists. And they're the ones that have the brains that get mushier and mushier, for sure. I mean, there's a spiritual dimension behind this as well. America's under attack. And these people have surrendered to the forces of evil, for sure. And now they're, as I said yesterday, I mean, they are lashing out in desperation because they're running out of time. Slate's already said, you know, we can't rely on the courts now. So what are we going to do? Well, just freak out or swear, curse on TV, curse your audience. How about that? Listen to this as... Here's the round. I prefer to call them the regime media because they're part of the regime. But listen to how out of touch these millionaires in the media are as they talk about the number one concern for voters in the state of Virginia. This is clip 8.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yes. Of course, I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall. What?
Build a wall between Virginia and West Virginia. Because West Virginia, see, there's quite a few MAGA hicks in West Virginia. That's the real threat. Not the Venezuelan that just raped the 14-year-old girl in Virginia. No, don't worry about that. These people living in Northern Virginia, in gated communities, the millionaires among the regime media. Yeah, they're safe and sound in their gated communities. Meanwhile, the rest in Virginia say that the number one concern above inflation, above crime in the cities, is illegal immigration. And these ladies, they laugh in your face. They laugh at you. Who are you to be concerned about illegal immigration? It's not a problem. The border's secure. Inflation, there's no problem with the economy. It's perfect. Crime numbers are down. They laugh and they joke about it. Even as the breaking story from the other day. Little girl gets raped by an illegal immigrant. As if we need to invite more rapists and murderers into the country. The crime is bad enough. The Biden administration has flown 320,000 illegal immigrants into America since late 2022. That amounts to less than a year and a half. Forget all the talk. Hey, they should, Trump shouldn't stand against this legislation that would have secured the border. Okay, they're finally admitting there's a crisis at the border, but it's Trump's fault. Trump's not even in office, okay? But they're blaming it on Trump. Meanwhile, the Biden administration, they've not only opened the gates at the southern border, they're flying people in from other nations by the hundreds of thousands. This is Sam summarizing the report. They've been flown in from Latin America into 43 U.S. cities where they've been released and authorized to stay in the U.S. for 2 years. Well, this will ease up a little bit of the overflow at the southern border. These are the actions of Joe Bama. This is, like I read to you yesterday from the Rich Lowry piece, this is what they want. This is their policy. This is how they've drawn it up. And it's working exactly the way they've wanted it to work. This is from the Center for Immigration Studies. It says, thanks to an ongoing Center for Immigration Studies Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, the public now knows that the U.S. Customs and Border Protection has approved secretive flights that last year alone ferried hundreds of thousands of inadmissible aliens from foreign airports into some 43 American cities over the past year. I mean, this is crazy. They're actively working to bring in the illegals. And now you have more and more of these stories, these sad and tragic stories coming out of Georgia and Virginia. This is from The Federalist. I mentioned yesterday at the end of the program, Victoria Nuland, she's on the way out. Michelle Obama now announces, I don't want any part of the political campaign. Maybe they are beginning to see that they've been exposed. They'll still fight. They'll still try to destroy. They'd still send Trump to a prison somewhere in a heartbeat if they could. But when you read Slate, when you see the numbers, when you see the numbers of Super Tuesday, when you get the announcement from Michelle O, when you see this about Victoria Nuland, the Federalist says about the Nuland resignation, after working under Vice President Dick Cheney as a principal deputy foreign policy advisor, Nuland was U.S. ambassador to the North Atlantic Treaty Organization under President George W. Bush until 2008. As one of our news gatherers pointed out, it's amazing how so many of these Obama acolytes, they actually go back before Obama, and they worked with the Bush Republicans. They were good old Bush Republicans, members of the Uniparty. And then Obama comes along and he radicalizes them even more. And they start to swoon. That's what happens when you compromise. When you compromise instead of standing up for your country like a patriot would. independent Substack journalist Jordan Shaddle outlined the real Victoria Nuland following the announcement of her resignation. From 2013 to 2015, Nuland's portfolio was dominated by Eastern Europe and Russia. She was the American point person for the infamous Maidan Uprising in Ukraine, which resulted in the ouster of the country's elected president. You know, he was elected. Critics of the Nuland-led campaign have labeled her activities in Ukraine as a successful coup effort in a foreign country. Under President Biden, Nuland appeared to telegraph the future bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline, declaring that it will not move forward if Russia invades Ukraine. A little bit of recent history. These people that are embedded into the military-industrial complex, for sure. They love seeing billions and billions and billions going toward the complex or into the slush fund in Ukraine. So many Americans benefit from it. Really important elites in America on the take, like the Bidens, like Hunter. Sundance says Victoria Nuland, the third highest-ranking U.S. diplomat and one of the principal agents responsible for attempted color revolutions, i.e. Russia and Ukraine, will retire and leave her post this month, according to the State Department. This is a good indicator that things are not going according to the Obama-Biden agenda. Sundance says good. Good. It's a good indicator that things aren't going so well for Joe Obama. How could this happen? Are we witnessing something miraculous? Just to harken back to what I covered on Monday's show. Are we seeing a miracle play out? Well, when you think about the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, it's always a miracle. If God tells us in advance, this is what's going to happen, then we better open our eyes and really magnify the sure word of Bible prophecy. And also, it's like I covered in doctrines class this morning, magnify the office of God's servant. Paul said to the people in Rome, look, I'm here to magnify not myself, but my office. Because God put me in that office. He put me in that position. We want to magnify everything that God represents. Why not? He's God. And the end of this evil world is right around the corner. God's about to set up and establish his government on this earth. Thank God for that. No more political campaigns, no more mudslinging, no more spending $2 billion on a presidential election, no more cheating, no more rigging. No more authoritarian regimes, no more dictators. Just a loving, benevolent God, Jesus Christ, ruling, yes, with a rod of iron, but also teaching and loving and helping and supporting and encouraging. Perfect government, that's what's coming. Sundance talks about this year. We've spoken of it as the war in 24, he uses the phrase, the big ugly. You know, what's coming? What's coming? The all or nothing battle for power between MAGA and the Uniparty, the establishment. This is discussed in 2 Kings 14. Jeroboam's going to have to war to recover what is rightfully his. And we're seeing this war play out. The war in 24. Sundance writes this. It's all going to play out the way it is going to play out. And my dearest friends, this is going to be the biggest, ugliest, most consequential, and potentially transformative inflection point in modern U.S. politics. Nuland, he's speaking of Victoria Nuland, she knows what's coming. Senator Sinema, the Arizona senator, may not know the details and or the specifics, but she knows the scale of conflict that's going to happen, and she's not internally prepared to participate in it. It's not about the current polarization from left versus right conflict. The traditional issues are not akin to debate. This is full combat bloodletting that is coming into focus and it is going to be exceptionally ugly. The stakes are extreme, and we will walk through them in advance. The U.S. intelligence apparatus is going to participate on behalf of the worst elements in government. I mean, we've already seen this. If you just look and judge by fruits, like Jesus said that we should, Matthew 7, verse 20, you know what's coming. Again, some of the Obama people, they may be abandoning ship because they know that the fake president's a lost cause. But the big ugly is coming. The war in 24, Sundance says, as if they have not completely dropped pretense already, and on behalf of the administrative state that provides their authority, the powerful institutions of our nations are going to forcefully align in combat against we the people. See, the people support Donald Trump, and this is why the last thing that the establishment wants, the last thing that the Uniparty wants, is for this to be put to a vote. They've got to destroy him before that, in the courts or wherever. Or else we lose democracy, they say. Sundance says, Arizona will be one of the all-or-nothing states this year, filled with extreme anger, not accidentally clad in purple hues. Senator Sinema is tapping out in advance. Yet another establishment, player stepping aside. They see the writing, the handwriting on the wall, and they don't want to engage in a battle. They know they'll lose. So McConnell's gone, or will be. McCarthy's already out of the picture. Haley's now gone. DeSantis, he was to be the Republican nominee. Everybody in the establishment supported him, including Laura Ingraham, I bet. But now she and a few others, they're going to have to go visit ordinary Americans in some of the flyover states to try to get to, you know, the real pulse of the American people. So many of them are just so completely out of touch. I mean, how do you sit on a panel with colleagues in the news media and laugh about illegal immigration that is actually killing people? It's hurting young people. It's bringing fentanyl into the United States so that more than 100,000 Americans every year can die of an overdose. How can you laugh off runaway inflation or crime in our city streets? That's what so many of them are doing. And so, as soon as Donald Trump steps to the microphone, they turn him off. Because he exposes them. Because he exposes their propaganda. He exposes their evil. He exposes their lies. All of that and so much more discussed in this book, America Under Attack. If you don't have a copy, make sure that you call our operators today. The 800 number there, it's 1-866-930-3024. You can get to all of our literature, our books, booklets. You can subscribe to The Trumpet at our website as well, thetrumpet.com. And just remember, everything that we offer on this program is offered without cost or obligation. We just need your mailing address, and we'll send it out to you as quickly as we can. I had some clips regarding the Kingdom of David and Solomon Discovered exhibit. We've got a nice little 2-minute spiel on the grand opening that we had a week and a half ago. Since we're out of time, we'll reserve that for tomorrow's show, and we'll also play a little excerpt from my recent conversation with the assistant curator of that exhibit, who gave us a wonderful private tour yesterday afternoon. So a lot to talk about with respect to this brand new exhibit that we hope at some point that even you can visit. We'll have it here for the rest of this year. That's all we have time for, though, on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.